Some time ago, I brought you a meditation upon this 49th chapter of Genesis, and I want to come back again to some verses that the Lord blessed to me this week. And I believe the Lord would have me really bring you a message afresh upon these verses. They're the verses 22, 23, and 24 of Genesis chapter 49. I want you to picture the scene here. Old Jacob has come to the end of his rugged and difficult pilgrimage on earth. You remember his birth. You remember the trouble in the home and the enmity between Esau and himself. You remember him going from his father's house, a stranger, to seek a wife. You remember he lay down to sleep, and he had a stone for his pillow. You remember that place became Bethel, the house of God to him. There Jacob came into a living, personal relationship with the Lord of heaven. You remember his sojourn with Laban. You remember his opposition from his father-in-law. The man whose name meant twister was himself fallen a prey to the twisters of his father-in-law and his brothers-in-law. You remember how he fled from Laban and how Laban pursued him and would have shed blood but for the intervention of God. You remember how he crossed over and the 400 men with Esau at their head came to meet him, and he trembled and he thought it was the end, but God delivered him not only from Laban but from Esau. And you remember his pilgrimage in the land. You remember how he lost his son Joseph and how his sons came with Joseph's coat stained in blood. The old father hung his head and wept, and he said that it'll bring my gray hairs down with sorrow to the grave. Do you remember the day when his sons came home and said, Joseph is yet alive. He's the prince of Egypt. Do you remember how the old father went down into Egypt? And I often picture to myself what a meeting when Joseph met his father again. This father looked upon his long-lost son, long-mourned for dead. And there he was, living in flesh and blood. Do you remember how he sojourned in Egypt? And now he's come to the end. It's a pathetic scene. It's a sad scene. It's a dark scene. It's a scene tinged with sorrow. But praise God, it's a scene that pulsates with living hope, because Jacob is going to bless his sons. And he gathers them around the bed. I think that we could truthfully say that he sat up in the bed and he put his legs over the edge of the bed. And there's the old man sitting on the edge of the bed. And the sons are all gathered round him. And you know what he says? He says, gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. And he says, I'll tell you that which shall befall you in the last day. Jacob was a prophet as well as a patriarch. And he starts with Reuben, and when he talks about Reuben, the tear comes to his eye. For Reuben had a dark shadow in his life. Reuben disgraced the family name. Reuben fell into an awful and vile sin and brought a dark night into the home. And so as he looks at Reuben, the teardrop starts. Then he looks at Levi, and he looks at Simeon, and there's no reason for joy when he contemplates them. because they were cruel men and almost brought disaster into the home. And he goes down the line. And then, don't you notice, in verse 18, after he has blessed some of his sons, and after he has exposed others, he turns his eyes to heaven, and he says, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. I have waited for thy salvation. And then he takes up again the theme of blessing his sons, and he comes to Joseph. Joseph, Rachel's boy. Joseph, whom he loved with all his heart. Joseph, who was the darling of his bosom. And as he looks at Joseph, he says, here's the son. And I want you to notice the mark of Joseph, him that was separate from his brethren. Verse 26. The distinguishing mark of Joseph was he was separate from his brethren. And I want to say this morning, that these words first told of Joseph are true of the greater Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was separate from his brethren. And they are true of every church of Jesus Christ that takes a separated stand in a world of apostasy, in a world of dissension, and in a world of appeasement and compromise. And what's true of Joseph is true of Christ. And what's true of Christ is true of his own separated people. And so when I'm talking about the blessing of Joseph, I'm not talking about something that happened there millenniums ago. In the days of the patriarchs, I'm talking about something that's true in these last days. This is a message for today. It's a message for my heart. It's a message for your heart. It's a message for this church. It's a message for every person who names the name of Christ and takes the separated position and is separate even from his brethren. If you're going to take the separated position, you'll be separate even from your brethren. In the apostate churches, there are those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's no doubt about that. There are those that know the grace of God in salvation. But I cannot stay under the ungodly yoke of apostasy because some of God's people are willing to bind themselves in the chains of fellowship that is denounced in the Word of God. No, sir, I've got to be separate from my brethren. And let me tell you, the most bitter attacks that will be made upon the separated people of God will be made about from the lips of those who name the name of Christ. Let's be perfectly clear. I thought it would be a nice thing in our church when we called it the Martyrs Memorial Church to remember the martyrs of the Congo. And I think that we should do that. These modern martyrs who died in the conflagration of the Congo and gave their lives for Jesus. I sat in the class at the Barry School of Evangelism with a young man called Dennis Torrey. Dennis and his wife and family, all but two, were wiped out in the massacres of the Congo. Dennis was a UFM missionary, and I thought that we might have a plaque to him just to make him, as it were, a representative of a great, noble army of martyrs who died. I wrote to the UFM headquarters and requested a photograph and a few sketches. I received a letter back, really shocked me. Said the council of the UFM would not countenance such a thing. And they wouldn't even give me the address of the people that is two of a family are living with. For it was my idea with my wife to bring them over to the opening and let them know that some of the old friends of their father remembered them. Of course, the UFM have no authority. If you want to remember somebody, you don't need to ask the council of any missionary board. and we don't intend to be tied up by any missionary board. But let me tell you this, friend, you'll suffer at the hands of your brethren. You stand for God. Make any mistake about it. He that was separate from his brethren. I want you to notice some things about Joseph. The first thing I want you to notice about Joseph was the satanic opposition to Joseph. My, he was in the midst of tremendous pressures. Joseph knew what it was to be attacked. Look at it. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. A threefold attack upon Joseph. They grieved him. They shot at him. And they hated him. Satanic opposition. And if you're going to live for Jesus Christ, you'll have satanic opposition. Don't you think we're going to have an easy pathway? Some people think when we get into the new church that we're just going to sit back and we're all going to fold our arms and put up our hands and say, isn't this lovely? My, you're going to get a queer shock if that's what you think. My, if we're ever going to have a fight, we're going to have a fight to keep that church the way it ought to be kept. It'd be a terrible thing if the Free Presbyterian Church and the Ravenhill Road became the cradle of Laodiceanism, and we sat back and said, we are rich, we are increased with goods, and we have need of nothing, and we know not that we are poor and wretched and miserable and blind. God save us from such a state. If I thought, my friend, that we would all become respectable, some night I would go and put a bomb on that place. I'm telling you. I want to tell you this, friend, we're not going to be respectable. We're going to be old-fashioned warriors for Christ. We're going to have the battle in our hand. Yes. Satanic opposition. They're going to grieve us. The continual pressures of Satan will grieve the people of God. How many times we've been grieved and broken-hearted and wounded in the house of our friends? How many times have they shot at us and hated us? We have been subjected to the barbed arrows of envy. Yes. You know, one of the worst things that could happen to you is when you have the blessing of God is the jealousy of your brethren. Yes, sir. This evil green-eyed monster of envy. And there's a lot of people envious of this church because God has blessed us. And they take their arrows and they dip them in the poison of envy and they fire them at us. And they hate us because of what God has done for us. And that's what happened to Joseph, wasn't it? Because God blessed Joseph and the father's smile was upon him and the raiment of authority was upon him. The arrows of envy were fired into his heart. The arrows of envy will be fired at us. And then there was the arrows of temptation. Poor old Joseph. Down yonder in Egypt. And that woman Potiphar's wife set her eyes upon him. And she said, I'll bring him down. This worshiper of Jehovah. I'll test his integrity. I'll test his purity. I'll test his holiness. And continually, she implored young Joseph to commit the sin of adultery with her. Poor Joseph. And one day, the temptation became so hot that all he could do was leave his garment in her hands and hasten from her chamber. And then you remember she told her husband that Joseph wanted to assault her, and Joseph found himself in the dark dungeon. The archers hated him, and they fired their arrows at him, and they grieved him. You know what it says? It says his soul was laid in irons in the book of the Psalm. Did you ever feel the iron going into your soul, friend? Did you ever feel a day when you were grieved because the archers of temptation, they fought you, against you? And then there was the arrows of false accusation. Good old Joseph was always falsely accused. They accused him when he was a boy. They accused him when he was older. They accused him when he went down into Egypt. He was a man who lived in constant false accusations. And if you're going to live for God and work for God, friend, you'll be falsely accused. The world will take up its slanders against you. The tongues of the gossipers will be lashing you continually. But thank God there's a hidden place. He says he will hide us in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. And praise God, the people of God can know a safe refuge in Jesus Christ. Satanic opposition. But let me look at a little closer at this verse. You not only have satanic opposition, but thank God you have heroic determination. You know what we read here? It says his bow abode in strength. That's a lovely verse. You know those archers had a bow, but Joseph had a bow that was better than that. And the world can have its weapons, but praise God, I have a greater weapon than all the world. The Bible tells me no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up in judgment against thee thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of thee, saith the Lord. Praise God, I've got a bow. I've got the bow of faith. Hallelujah. You'll never break that bow. I have got the bow of spiritual encouragement. I have got the bow of the divine promise. That was the bow Noah had, hadn't he? And out and looked at the bow in the sky. And he said, God has promised he'll never destroy the world again with a flood of water. My, we've got a bow. And you know what it says here? It says, his abode in strength. My, I was saying to myself today, my bow always abide in strength. It's a great thing, friend, when a preacher still has the power. I have seen preachers start their ministry a flame of fire, and in a few days, they petered out. There's a minister in this city. I used to pray with him every Tuesday. He was a man of God. He shook the church where he preached. And today, his ministry is bereft of power. The seats of his auditorium are empty, and he himself is fiddling with the follies of apostasy and worldliness. Friend, you can lose your power, but Joseph didn't lose his power. There is no reason for the Church of Christ to lose its power. There is no reason for the preacher to lose the fire of God within his soul. Praise God, our bow can abide in strength. God wants us to abide in strength. Heroic determination. I wonder if many of the people of God are determined, no matter how fierce the battle, no matter how rough the tumult, no matter how terrible the conflict, praise God, we're going forward in the name of the Lord. We're not turning back. No turning back. No turning back. That should be the cry of the people of God. Many have turned back. Many were like Ephraim, armed with bows, and they turned back in the day of battle. But old Joseph didn't turn back. His bow abode in strength. Look again. Look at this terrific inspiration he had. What does it say? Look at it. The arms of his hands were made strong by the mighty God of Jacob. That's a tremendous statement, isn't it? You know, this takes us back to the old days of archery. And when the father took out a son to teach him the use of the bow, the father took his son and he put the hand of his son upon the bow, upon the wooden part of the bow, and then the father put his hand over the son's hand. And then he put his other hand to the arrow and he fixed it to the string in the son's hand, and then he put his hand over the son's hand. And then he pulled back the bow and helped his son to pull it back. And he helped his son to take aim. And he went over this patiently and faithfully until the son learned the skill of the father. And I'm glad when I'm fighting for the Lord's hands upon me. I'm glad when we're in this battle, we're not depending on our own poor puny strength. Praise God, the God of Jacob is with us. And the mighty God of heaven is on our side. Why has this little church despised and hated and maligned, grown? Because the mighty God of Jacob was on our side. Let God withdraw himself from amongst us. Let God depart from this place, and it will become a veritable wilderness. And the pews will be forsaken, and there will be no light of testimony in it. But praise God, as we keep humble and low at his feet, praise God, our arms will be strengthened by the mighty God of Jacob. Who was this God that strengthened Jacob? It was the God of his father. And praise God, we believe this morning in the God of our fathers. Our fathers told us of the great things that the Lord did for them in their days. How he delivered them from popery and priestcraft and brought them out into a good land, into the land of Protestant privileges and testimony. And our God is our Father's God. He helped the martyrs to stem the fire. He helped the covenanters to stem the Inquisition and the rack. He helped the reformers to face all the hordes of popery. And he will help us today to fight this battle. He's our God today. Let us take encouragement this morning. The God who stood by Elijah in Mount Carmel, he's our God. Just one man against all the prophets. And I'm sure the telegraph of Carmel, a Carmel telegraph, when it wrote up its story, it said, Elijah's in the minority. He's just one, a poor fool. But I'd rather be with Elijah than with the prophets of Baal when he was cutting their throats and tossing their heads into the river, wouldn't you? I want to tell you, my friend, it's better to be one with God than have the God of Jacob on your side. God's going to be with us. We haven't the multimillionaires. We haven't the great committees. We haven't the prestige. We haven't the scholarship. We haven't the educational institutions of the apostates, but friend, we have got the God of heaven. That's all we have got. Thank God we have got a real millionaire on our side. You know, Dr. T.T. Shields had 5 millionaires in his church when he went preaching in Jarvis Street. And of course, when you have rich people in your church, they give you trouble because these millionaires thought they should run the preacher. And when P.T. Shields started his fight against the apostasy and modernism of the McMaster University, the 5 millionaires all resigned from the church. Said, we'll finish Jarvis Street. We'll resign. And the next Sunday, the great preacher preached a sermon. 1 millionaire who will never resign from the membership of Jarvis Street. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. I want to tell you, friend, we needn't worry about man. Or money. Just put your faith in the Lord. He'll see you right. And you needn't worry about your daffodil teas or pea soup suppers. You needn't worry about them. The Lord will send us the money. We don't need jumbo seals. Or we don't need to be trying the stumps and gimmicks of the world. The Lord will see us through. How good is our God. Their hands, the arms of their hands. Notice it, the arms of their hands. God not only gives you a strong hand, he gives you a strong arm behind the hand. The arms of his hands were made strong by the mighty God of Jacob. And the word there, if you look at it, the word God is in the italics because in the original it's the Almighty One of Jacob. The one who's all sufficient. Friend, would you trust God this morning when you're in the midst of the battle? The hardest thing for God's people to do is just to trust the Lord. And he has proved himself so real to us, we ought to trust him.
But the devil doesn't want us to trust the Lord,
for a man that trusts God will be strong and he'll do exploits. I want you to notice something else, the marvelous designation that was given to Joseph. He's a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. You know, there are three things about that. Let me notice them. First of all, Joseph had the blessing of the promise. You know, the word Joseph means increase or adding. When he was born, his mother had faith that God would give her another son. And so she called Joseph adding, because the thought was increase, that God gave the increase. And you know, my friend, over in the New Testament, you have Joseph's biography written. If you turn to the second epistle of Peter and the verse 5, you'll find Joseph's biography, his life story. His name, the name Joseph means addition, adding, increase. And this is what it says, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. How did Joseph start? He started off with faith. And then he added to his faith virtue. When Potiphar's wife said, "You come and sin with me," he said, "No, I'll not come and sin with you." He added to his faith virtue. That's the first part of Joseph's story. Let's go on. And then he added to virtue knowledge. My friend, down in the prison cell, he learned a few things. There's nothing like a prison cell to teach you about the grace of God. And he became wise in the prison cell, and he added in the prison cell to his knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And then you know what he added when he came out of prison. He added brotherly kindness. When his brethren came down to Egypt, he added brotherly kindness, didn't he? And when his old father died and his brethren came and said, "We're worried about what we did to you now that our father's dead," he added to his brotherly kindness charity. That's Joseph. Joseph, he's a fruitful bough. If this church has the blessing of God, it'll bear fruit. You show me a church that God's blessing, and I'll show you a church that's a soul-winning church. And when this church ceases to win souls, then, friend, it'll be time for us to take stock of where we're going. God's intention for the church, it should be fruitful. The blessing of the promise. Look at the blessing of the place. Where is he placed? He's placed beside the well. Isn't that nice? He has a constant supply of refreshing water. He's a bull, a bow by the well. Hallelujah! Praise God, I'm living at the well. I'm living at the fountain. It'll never run dry. My friend, there's blessings for us every day. You needn't be an old, thirsty, dried up wart of a Christian. Praise God, there's refreshing dew from heaven for every one of us. Is that what you are? Are you a bough by a well, a fruitful bough? Do you know that's the Psalm 1, isn't it? Doesn't it say he's planted by a river of waters? God wants to keep us refreshed in the Lord. Oh, there's some Christians and they're dry, aren't they? And there's some prayer meetings and they're dry, and there's some churches they're dry, and there's some sermons they're dry. There was an old Puritan preacher and he said about Hannah's prayer, he said there was one thing, Hannah's prayer wasn't dry. It was wet with her tears. God wants us to be planted by the well. Man said to me the other day, standing at the church, he says, "When you die, it's finished."
I said, that's a wonderful thing to say. I said, did you ever hear about Moses and Joshua? He says, aye, Moses did a wonderful work, but Joshua did a far better work. And I said, please God, the man that follows me will be far worse than me. He says, I wouldn't like to see him, Will, if he's worse than you. So, hallelujah! God can send us a Joshua to bring the church into the promised land, can't they? Friend, don't you believe it? Do you think our God's going to let us down? We can be a fruitful bough by the well. And there's something more. Look at that. Whose branches run over the wall. You know, if you look the Hebrew, that word branch means daughter. Whose daughters run over the wall. It's a type of extra fruitfulness. And thank God, God has given to this church daughters. The whole Free Presbyterian churches have been literally born out of this church. Our branches have run over the wall. And they're going to run over the wall down there in Larne too. Hallelujah. And they're going to run over the wall in other places by the grace of God. God doesn't want us to stay in the bounds. That's what that means. God wants the blessing to overflow. So that the garden becomes so fruitful that there's not room for the branches inside and they go right over the wall. What God wants to do with us. That's my cup's full and so is my saucer. That's what that is. Yeah. We used to sing that in Sabbath school, didn't we? My, some people need the overflow in their lives, don't we? We need to be filled up. It's not merely the fullness of the Holy Ghost, it's the overflow. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So don't think the Lord's finished with you and you've got all you're going to get. Praise God, there's blessings galore ahead for the people of God. You can go on counting your blessings until you die, and there'll be blessings more and more to follow from the good hand of God. And you know how it came to Joseph? Because he was separate from his brethren. And if we take a separated stand, no matter how hard or how difficult it'll be, God will bless us. You know, when I was an orange man, they hardly ever asked me to take an orange service. And I fell out with the County Grand Lodge of Belfast over the old apostate ministers that were in it, and I resigned, and I wrote them a real stinker of a letter, excuse the word, but that's what it was. And they said, that's Paisley finished, he'll never preach. And now I have to refuse these services. God blesses you, I want to tell you, if you stand for God. Don't you tell me, friend, that if you go out on a limb for God, God will let you down. I don't believe it. I never was more blessed until I took a strong, separated stand for God. God will bless us. And we had an application before our committee. All the orange men of East Belfast, they want to come and walk to our new church. Hallelujah. And have a great service. And we're going to welcome them and preach the gospel to them and be glad of them. And we'll welcome the independents as well. Hallelujah. Amen. I know that would please that fellow there in the front seat. Amen. And we'll welcome all who want to come to hear the gospel. Friend, God will bless you if you work for him. The greatest thing is to be in the Lord's service. You know, I sat in that prison cell for 6 weeks, and that's what annoyed me, because I wasn't out preaching the gospel. That's why I'm preaching four times every Sunday. I'm making up for time that was lost. It's a great thing to be in the service of God. Aren't you happy this morning? Aren't you glad you're a Free Presbyterian? That we're not sitting in an old apostate church listening to an icicle? Praise God, there's warmth in our souls today. Some churches, Nicholson said, if you brought a bucket of milk through the door, it would be ice cream before you got it to the pulpit. I want to tell you, friend, there'll be life in our church. We're going to have a happy time. God wants us to be happy. The people of God are to rejoice. My, I'm telling you, with heaven before us. And as the old colored preacher said, even if I never got to heaven, I'm having a jolly good time on the way anyway. And so we are. We're having a great time on the way. And you know, friend, God has blessed the testimony of this little church to the ends of the earth. My friend, let me tell you, the protest of this church has been vital. Do you remember the first time Brother Jack Glass came to preach? And a man said to me, you know, he read every word of it. He's not reading now. I want to tell you, God blessed that young man, and he's going to bless him. Remember the first time Brian Green came? And these young men got the fire in this church. And we say it reverently, God blessed them, and he's going to bless them. This church has had an impact. God has blessed us. And today, it's the church, friend, that Rome knows is its greatest opponent. I got a cutting from a Roman Catholic paper in the south of Ireland that was the greatest blessing ever read. And this Roman Catholic man wrote, he says, there's one thing the Unionist Party can't stand against. It's the prayers of the Paisleyites. He says they prayed against Lord Erskine and he's gone. And they prayed against Sayers of the Telegraph and he's gone. And they prayed against Terence O'Neill and he's gone. And they said, Chichester Clark better be careful, for if they pray against him, he'll go as well. You know what I said? I said, thank God. That's a great testimony, isn't it? And it said, the Unionist Party has no answers to our prayers. Neither do I have. Neither has the old apostate assembly, friend. Nobody can stand before the prayers of God's people. Bye, we want to get encouraged this morning. And I want you folks to come out to that Wednesday night prayer meeting, although I'll not be there. I'll be preaching away in Dungannon. I want you to fill that church. And we want to have a prayer meeting that's on fire for the Lord. You know, that prayer meeting is a testimony. I got a copy of the Elam Evangel while I was in prison, and the writer there, he said, you know, Mr. Paisley's prayer meeting, it's a great prayer meeting. We want to keep that prayer meeting going. We want to increase our power by prayer. Friend, God made Joseph a fruitful bough. He had a rough time. The archer sought him. We have had a rough time. But his bow abode in strength. And it is my prayer that the bow of my ministry will abide in strength. That there'll be no weakening, no compromise. It will still to the end of the journey keep the fire of God burning in our souls. And you know what happened after Jacob had said it all? He says he pulled his legs into the bed. And he said to the boys, good night. Boys, I'll meet you in the morning. And he was gathered to his fathers. And someday when we've fought the last battle and I've preached my last sermon, if Jesus doesn't come, someday when we've climbed together the last rugged hill of life's journey and we've suffered together in the battle, praise God, God will call us home. That's going to be a great day. And we're going to meet all our loved ones and all the former members of our church, and we miss them. Their seats are vacant this morning. Dear old saints that blessed my soul in the first session of this church that brought it out from apostasy many years ago, we're going to meet them all again. That's going to be a great day. And best of all, we're going to meet Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I'll tell you something more. We're going to be like him. That's the greatest miracle of it all. We're going to be like the Lord. My, what a great day. My, the first homecoming of the saints. What a great day it's going to be. You're in this meeting and you're not saved. You have no partner lot in this matter. Bless God, you can be saved this morning. In that seat, man, you can call upon God and he can save you. In that seat, madam, you can call in Jesus and he'll save your soul. And you can join the happy band and on to glory go. May God help you to be saved this morning for Jesus' sake. Amen. Father in heaven, we rejoice this morning in this meeting. Our hearts have been blessed. Our souls have been helped. Lord, we're going away happy from the Lord's house. Give us journeying mercies to Trillick. Give us journeying mercies back again. Give us journeying mercies to Dungannon this evening. Give us souls at these meetings. God, help us. You helped us to preach this morning. If nobody got blessed, the preacher got blessed. Oh, God, help us, we pray, for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
Amen.